going to learn to rest. And we're going to talk about the rest of the Lord tonight. Amen. Last Wednesday night, when we were in the other room, Pastor mentioned the word rest. And you could hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm calling my children to rest. God don't want me and you all bent out of shape about what's going on, brothers and sisters. There's a rest for the people of God. Amen? Let's go to Psalms 37. We've been there. This is Brother Yandy and one of my teachers back in school a long time ago, and now I listen to him now. He said something the other week about Psalms 37. He said, if there ever was a time that Psalms 37 fit the church, it's now. He said, look in our country, look in our nation. Amen? So Psalms 37, we'll read down through the 7th verse again. This is out in the Amplified Translation. It says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. That's enough to chew on, isn't it? Because if you grew up knowing what's right and what's wrong, and you grew up seeing a lot of good, you're seeing a lot of bad nowadays, aren't you? Cut your TV on if you want to. This is me personally. I don't even watch news, just a little bit. Then I'll cut it off. I'll say, nah. But I'm not going to fret about it. You see this here? Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness, that which is not upright and right standing with God. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You know that day's coming? The vengeance of the Lord, the vindication of God's justice is getting ready to come to pass at the close of the church age and at the end of the trib when he comes in and sets up his foot on the Mount of Olives. Amen. That day's coming. They're going to be cut off. We've got to reach them for Jesus Christ. We've got to love them. Remember what I said about that other verse? Because sin abounds, the love of many will wax cold. We can't let our love wax cold because of the sin and the junk that's going on and evilness. We're going to love people. They come to us now and they say, how can you be so happy with all that's going on? How can you, blah, blah? Because I know Jesus. Because I'm His. And He's mine. And like Grandma and Mama said, son, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds my future. He holds my future. Now, saying that, I need to stop right here right quick. We gave an utterance here in the house the other day. And I went back on my phone and I wrote down what the Lord has said to me when the pastor asked me, did I have something? And this is in essence what remember the vocal gifts he talked about? The gift of prophecy, which was exhortation, edification, and comfort. That word that day was this, and it summed in this. In God's foreknowledge, He knew we would be here at a time of great distress. And He has predestined a plan for His children to walk in His blessings and live in His rest in the middle of the turmoil we see. What does all that mean, Brother Tony? Let's talk. We talked about this before. The foreknowledge of God. In God's foreknowledge, He saw and seen everything that's going to happen and is happening and going to happen down the road. He's already seen it. He saw me and you, we would be here. He saw me and you being here when all this junk's happening, all this bad stuff's going on. He saw it. But in His foreknowledge and seeing it, He predestined. What does that mean? He set a plan up for me right here, right now, in the middle of this stuff to cause me to walk in the blessings. Amen? Right in the middle of what's going on right now. Like Pastor says many times, nothing don't surprise God. You know what I'm saying? But in His foreknowledge, He saw Tony Berry, He saw Sissy Nathaniel, my children, your family. He saw us living in a land that's trying to be sold out to universal communism. That's what it is, but we won't even go there. He saw we would be here. And in seeing we would be here, He said, I got a plan for you to walk in my blessings. I still want to lavish you with my blessings, son. Get into that place. See, when you know that, guess what? You have rest. Glory to God. You got rest. He's got it. Did you hear what I said? He's got it. He's already seen it. You know, He knows tomorrow what I'm going to be dealing with. He knows what I'm going to be dealing with tomorrow. He already seen it. And this is something we'll try to get to, but He knows that. And guess what? When I come in here on Tuesdays, when I walked around for about 3 hours a day praying in the Holy Ghost, guess what I was doing? I was praying out His plan and purpose for me tomorrow. In the middle of what I was doing with it. You understand? He knew and He knows where I'm going tomorrow. And He's given me a divine supernatural way to communicate with Him called praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, where I can speak out His mystery or His plan for me for tomorrow. Yeah. Nothing surprises the Father. Huh? Because in His foreknowledge, He originated, here goes the pastor's message, in His foreknowledge, He ordained. He's the originator of the plan. Jesus executed the plan. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is seated there now. He executed that plan. Then the Father sent the Holy Spirit to reveal that plan to us. The plan. What plan? Well, number one, the plan of redemption. The plan that that Jesus was going to take my place so I could make heaven. But it don't just stop there, brothers and sisters. He wants me and you to walk in the blessings here now. Right now. Well, brother, it looks bad. He still wants you to walk in the blessings now. He sent the prophet to a place where the ravens were to feed the prophet in the time of starving land. Did he not? He said, they're over yonder, you go there. Well, just like what you need from Him right now, He's got them over there waiting on you right now to get where you need to go, to get what you need in your life right now. I'm serious, brothers and sisters. And if you get this in your inner man and flood your psyche, soulish man, you can have rest. But if you're going to go home tonight and you watch 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours of news, and then you get up and you waste away your time during the day, and don't get in the presence of God and in the Word of God and praying it, and if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you're not praying in tongues, shame on you. But that's the truth. Spend time in His presence. We just sung. I give it all to you. Did we not just sing that? I give myself away. See, the trouble with many Christians, they just want just enough. They just want just enough. Let's get real about it. How much of God do you want? Just enough. He wants to give you more than enough. I've said this before. In my most desperate times, when I was going through some desperate things, when I was giving all I had to Him, He showed up in the greatest measure. That's how it works. Like the brother said at Rhema when I was there at Winter Bible, how much of God do you want? It's up to you. How much do you want? How much of His presence do you want? Well, He's already told us that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. You seeing that? You got Christians scared to death right now. Born again, child of God, scared to death. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I got news for you. He's put a place in the cleft of the rock just for me. I'm walking with Him. Maybe it looks like I'm walking up the mountain because of all the junk that's going on. But there's a cliff right there. You know what a cliff is? That's a little flat place just for me where I can get right there. And guess what I can do? Rest. I can rest. I can rest. All right, let me get back, I reckon. Okay, verse 3. Trust of Psalms 37. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord. Do good, so shall you dwell in the land, and feed surely on His faithfulness. And truly you shall be fed. Now you look at that verse. That's a conditional thing. You trust. You be confident. You lean on. You rely on the Lord. Then you shall dwell on and in a land and feed on His faithfulness. It's always a conditional thing with us, brothers and sisters. Like I said, how much do you want? You know, like I said, I've had desperate times where I had to have. So in my desperate times, I got real serious. If you hadn't been real serious with the Lord, don't worry, you'll have an opportunity to get there before all this closes. That's just the truth. Amen. Okay, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Delight. And He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. I've experienced some of that in a measure. I have. And I give Him the glory and give Him the praise for it. I've had the Spirit of God speak to me about things. I said, Lord, You don't care about that. And He does. But see, He's looking at your, here we go, He's looking at your heart. What you in this for, son? You just want to make it? How about, what about give yourself away daily like we pray and sing? Huh? Well, I'm going to shape up this Sunday. I'm going to be spiritual today. I'm going to church. I hate to say that, but that happens in the body. And they do that, and then they got all this stuff that goes on, and they don't get their things they desire in prayer, and they wonder why. And then they get religious, and they say, well, you know, God's just holding that back from me. Now, He don't want to hold it back from you. It's got to do with your obedience and trust and relying and leaning on Him. Amen? All right, verse 5. Commit our way to the Lord. Trust, rely on, and be confident also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. And He will make your uprightness and right standing with God go forth as light, and your justice and right as the shining sun of the noonday. Here you go, verse 7. This is good. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for Him and patiently lean yourself upon Him. Fret not yourselves because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Backing up. Be still and rest and wait and lean. Be still and know I'm God. Isn't there a verse that says that? Wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40. And He will renew your strength. And you will mount up like wings of eagles. You will run and not be weary, and you will not faint. Doesn't it say something like that? In our waiting, what you leaning on? I'm leaning on $200,000 in the bank. That'll fall. I'm leaning on because I'm young and strong and I've got it. Nope. That ain't going to last either. I'm leaning on because of this. In other words, we need to lean on Him. Getting back to one of Grandma's old songs. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure. You know, all that's just coming up as I'm talking. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Are you leaning on Him? Brothers and sisters, I know He's saying, come here, get close, get close. Because He wants you to be blessed and rest. Amen? Now, let's go to, I'm going to read you another verse. I'm not going to go to it. Psalms 116, verse 7 says, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. In other words, God's blessed you in days gone by. And the psalmist is saying, come back to this rest. Amen. Come right here. This is where it's at. Amen. Amen. That's Psalms 116:7. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. This is a long verse, but it speaks so much. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the eternal paths, where the good old way is. Then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, Jesus quoted that. We're getting ready to read where Jesus quoted that out of the Psalms. How about that, where it says, where the good old way is. You know, a lot of people's lost the good old way. They've lost the good old way. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. The charismatics, full gospel charismatics, know very little about consecration and dedication. So true. So true. So true. The good old way. You know, Paul said to Timothy, he said, listen, they're going to be throwing some strange doctrine out there, brother. They're going to throw some new stuff at you, brother. He said, but you hold fast. And I can say it this way, that good old way that you got from your mama and your grandmama and you got from me, son Timothy, out of the partials that I sent you to read and study. The good old way. And when you do, it says, when you find that way, walk in it. Don't just behold it. Walk in it. What do you mean, Brother Tony? Well, Sister ministered the other week about looking in that mirror. Don't walk away. Look in that mirror. Be a doer of what you see. And you won't forget what manner of man you saw in that mirror. Amen. Glory to God. And you will find rest for your souls. Now let's go to Matthew 11 and read what the Master said. He quoted it. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is Amplified. Brothers and sisters, we need to just move into the rest of God. I know I heard him this afternoon because I was going somewhere else. He said, no, just share some verses on rest. And then he showed me something else. I'll get to it. I'll show you. I ain't seen before. Rest. There's a rest for the people of God, Hebrews says. We'll get there too. Okay, here we go. Jesus said, Amplified Translation, 28 verse 11, chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Oh, glory to God. Take my yoke upon you and lean of me, for I am gentle or meek and humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, ease, refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quietness for your souls. Amen. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh or hard or sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Now just right there a minute. November 1980, first Sunday before Thanksgiving, when me and Sissy was at Maranatha Uptown in the Keys Furniture Building, and we said the prayer that Carol Gullidge led us in to get, she got born again. I came back into fellowship. I was a prodigal or a backslider. That very day, and I've said it here before, that very day, it was like 1,000,000 pounds left my shoulders. That very day, we went out to her mom and daddy's in the country. I'll never forget it. I looked up and the sky was bluer than it ever been. The air smelt better than it ever smelt. Even the hay bale I was on felt good and smelt good. But what I'm saying is I experienced this when I first came to Christ, the very first day. Well, here's what I'm saying to us. It should be a continual thing. It should be a continual thing. I was in here praying in with the sisters Tuesday. And as I was walking and praying in other tongues, you know, your mind would go, you'd be going, Chande, love me. Your mind be going, man, you do that all the time. You know, devil, man, you do that all the time. What in the world are you doing? And I was over there walking and praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just brought it back to the day after that brother Kenneth and Donnie Irwin laid hands on us the night before. That next day, I got off work early. I told you this story. Went to my house on Redbud Street by myself, got in the bedroom, got on my knees, laid on the floor next to the bed and began to cry out to God, saying, Lord, whatever happened last night, I want to keep it. And I was there, and all of a sudden I started praying in tongues and began to cry as I prayed in tongues and began to sing in tongues. And it was so fresh and new. I was over here praying Tuesday, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart of hearts. He said, same thing. I said, it sure is. I said, it sure is. It sure is. Here you go, gauge yourself. Gauge yourself. Are you cranked up for the things of God as you were at one time? Do you have a love for the Word of God as you did at one time? Do you desire to be in the house of God like you ran to one time? Do you desire to share your testimony with other people as you did at one time? These things you need to constantly gauge yourself and deal with your own life personally in the presence of God. Because if you're just putting all this to the side and saying, I'm doing good, I'm all right, you're not truly leaning and relying on the Lord. Let's get real about it. You're not truly give yourself away. Huh? Come on, let's get real here. Amen. Anyway, Jesus said that we had a rest that was for our soul, did He not? He certainly did. And I've experienced that in the new birth, and I experience it now. Now, if you would, I believe I want to go to Hebrews real quick. Go to Hebrews 4. I'm going to read you some here because I was just going to read like 8 down, but I'm going to jump up here and read 6. Hebrews 4:6, Amplified Translation. Holy Spirit, through I believe it was Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews, says, seeing then that the promise remains over from past times for some to enter that rest, and that those formerly were given the good news about it, and the opportunity failed to appropriate it and did not enter because of disobedience. That's enough to chew on. God gave them rest. He said, I got you a rest here. Won't you enter into it? The Holy Spirit through the writer here said they failed to appropriate it and did not enter into it because of disobedience. Verse 7. Again, He sets a definite day and a new day today and give another opportunity of securing that rest, saying, through David, that after so long a time, the words already quoted today, if you would hear His voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts. Okay, verse 8. This mention of a rest that was not referenced to their entering into Canaan. For if Joshua had given them rest, he, God, would not speak afterward about another day. So then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from his weariness and pain and human labors, just as God rested from those labors perpetually his own. Verse 11, this is us. Let us therefore be zealous, exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. There's a rest for me. There's a rest for you. If you're not walking in the rest of God now in your life, there's a rest for you. What do you think it is? And I was thinking about this a while ago. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, like in service or when your prayer time or whatever, and you feel all this calmness and this peace and this tranquility, as we would say, that's a rest. See, God wants you to walk in that rest. He wants you to walk moment by moment in that rest. He wants you to walk in your workplace in that rest. He wants you to walk through your family situations in that rest. He wants you to walk through your other obligations in that rest. There's a rest that you can have. Truly, there is. Now, look, this is something the Lord showed me many years ago, and it fits. Look what the next verse says. It begins with four. For the Word of God speaks and alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating, dividing line of breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, and analyzing, and judging the very thoughts and purposes of heart. What are you saying, writer? Why would you throw the Word in out there? Because that's where you get rest. That's what divides the soul and the spirit. That's what helps you to have rest. The Word of God you put in your life. Because this psyche man, this soulish man that he's talking about there, it don't want to do all this. It's moving by everything it sees, everything it feels, everything it hears. But your spirit man has righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says, the kingdom of God. Because he said the kingdom of God is within you. So you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost right on the inside of you. And on the inside of your spirit, man, you've got peace that passeth all understanding. If you can just learn to rest and allow the peace and comfort and the tranquility of God to dominate you when you're facing the dilemmas of life. Well, how do you do that, Brother Tony? Get in the Word. Let it divide for you. For the Word of God is quick and alive and powerful. Amen? Amen? So I wrote, as we walk in obedience to what He has revealed to us and we feed on His Word, we maintain a rest that He has provided for us. I wrote that down. That's true. It's on me to get there. It's not going to fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. You got it on the inside of you, but the whole purpose of Romans 12, 1 and 2 is for you to let the one on the inside come on the outside. You present this body, you renew this mind with the Word of God and keep your body under subjection, or as the Colossian letter said, mortify therefore your deeds unto God. Because your inner man has it. The word transform, of course you know, many of you, means metamorphosis. A cocoon to a butterfly. The inner man, God wants the inner man to come outwardly in you. Like the butterfly coming out of that cocoon, amen? He's wanting the outer man to be closed in and the inner man being shown in you. You ever been around people that have a glory about them? You ever been around people that you just sense the presence of God when you're around them? They're letting the one on the inside come out. And brother, there's rest there. Now, let's hit another lick of rest. Isaiah 28, 12. Won't read it, but we're going to talk about it. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12 states, God has given to us a true rest, the way of true comfort and happiness. With a baptism in the Spirit and maintaining a prayer life of praying in other tongues. You know, Isaiah 28, 11, 12 says, this is the rest I have for the weary. With stammering lips and other tongues I speak to these people and through these people. Now I know this works. This is, my experience is not at the mercy of your argument because I know it works. The more I pray in the Holy Ghost, the more I walk in the rest of God. You do too, if you know. The more I pray in the Spirit, the more I rest in the presence of God. Because what's happening? The more I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm edifying myself. I'm building up my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But I'm charging up my inner man. Me and Brother Paul was in here at prayer one day this last week, and we were talking, and I said, think about it. I said, you got this 110 in you, and I'm going to share this with you. Because the Bible says, without the spirit, the body's dead. Every person that lives on the earth, when their spirit leaves them, their body dies. They're born again, they go to heaven. They're not, they go to hell, okay, like the Bible teaches. But the Bible says, without the spirit, the body is dead. Well, I got the Holy Spirit living within my spirit, man. So instead of a 110, I got a 220. Did you hear what I said? I got a 220. And when I pray, I'm like that charger I got on that Chevelle at the house, charging that battery. It's charging it up, bud. Glory to God. And that 220 is perked. It's not drained down any. Are you with me? There's a rest of praying in other tongues. There's a rest that you get praying in other tongues. I don't know about that. There's a rest that you get when you spend time praying in other tongues. Meditation on the Word of God brings rest. Meditating on the Word. You might be dealing with stuff, might heard a report, but I use this verse many times and still going through till I make heaven. Surely he bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. I esteemed him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I'm healed. I'll say it again, surely, and I'll go over and over. Surely, I'll go to bed at night sometimes. Surely he bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. I'll say it over. I'll meditate on that. I'll chew on it. Meditate means mutter. It also means to chew. I'll chew on it. My God shall supply all my need. All my needs. My God shall supply all my need. Oh, brother, look at that kind. My God shall supply all my need. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. He said he'd pour out the windows of heaven, blessings I can't contain. I meditate on that stuff. I meditate on that stuff. That's what you do. Meditating on the Word of God brings rest in your life. The psalmist said, David, I believe, was the writer there. He said, I sit up on the side of my bed and I meditate on God's Word in the night seasons. How many of you ever woke up? Here you go. How many of you ever woke up and you got this mess running through your head and the devil's trying to throw something on you, fear or something, and you just sit right there and go, God has not given me the spirit of fear. He ain't given me the spirit of fear. But a power and love and a sound mind. God has not given me the spirit of fear. I don't have fear. He took my fear. I believe you, Father, that fear is gone because I have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Meditating, muttering the Word of God brings rest. How about this one? Praising God brings rest. Glory to God. Just praise Him. Praise Him when it don't look like you ought to be praising Him. Pastor taught us this. Praise is a pre-testimony of what we believe in God for. You said that. I ain't forgot it. Your praise is a pre-testimony of what you're standing on God for. Huh? You get to praising God anyway, it starts magnifying how big God is. And this big old thing that's trying to mess your rest up, it gets littler and littler and littler and a little smaller and smaller. Huh? Your praise brings rest. Why? One other reason. The Bible says God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, let's be specific here, is enthroned in your life when you give Him praise. When you're praising God, the Holy Spirit just comes upon you. Okay, I'll say that one. It's like I said, Pastor was talking about the Holy Spirit's presence, about the revealer, having the revealer more prominent in our life. You know, Ephesians 3, the prayer of Paul, Paul said this. It says in the King James, he said, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. The word dwell in the Greek means be at home. Because he mentioned not grieving the Spirit of God, not saddening Him. You need to develop your life that the Holy Spirit's at home in you. He's at home in you. Let me tell you something. He's a fine gentleman. He don't speak of himself. He speaks of what the Father says and what the Son initiates him to say. Because he is the Spirit of Christ. But let me talk to you about something. He wants to get real close to you. Did you hear what I just said? Well, brother, he lives in... I know that. He wants to get real close to you. Before this song come out, everybody likes to sing about Holy Spirit, this song we sing here. Before that song even hit the charts, the Lord kept telling me a word about the Holy Spirit, and it was that He wanted to be intimate with us, but that wasn't the word He said to me. I'll get it, but anyway, it was another word, and it all equals this, what I just said. He wants to be real, real, real close to you. Real, real, real close to you. He wants you to be able to adhere His voice. We're so busy so much of the time, so loud ourselves and doing what we're doing. Good things a lot of times that we miss it. But your praise causes His presence to be more prevalent on you. And here's the word. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to be more coherent to me. That was the word I was trying to think of. Coherent. Coherent. You know. Well, Holy Spirit, I heard Brother Rudy say one time, Holy Spirit, where'd I put them keys? Where them keys at? He's interested in telling you stuff like that. Huh? I took all my food line money, a big wad, and I put it, had to move it because I left food line, and the guy wanted me to play the market. This was the beginning of this past year. And we had money out there, and we were going to play some balance funds and this and some conservative things because of my age. 2, 3, 4, 5 days during the week, I kept going, man. I called him up. Todd's his name, Dylan Dillon. He does his financial stuff. I said, Todd, I don't want to get in the market near bit. I want to buy. And he said, well, I can get you some annuities and you can make double the interest you were making, and it's very safe, no market effect, anything. Well, I'm going to make money this year. Do you realize how many people's going to lose their can and have lost their can in the market since January 1 of this year? A bunch. Do you believe, Brother Tony, that the Holy Spirit was yes, sir. Because I was praying about it. Yes, sir. I mean, my brother speaks it over us, that God blesses the work of our hand, that He causes increase that we lend in our bar. Come on, brothers and sisters. Now, what if I'd have played the market? The market's gone. You know how much the Dow, the NASDAQs, and the other one has gone down already? A bunch. I'd have thrown that money out. I'd have been boom. But I'm going to make, he's told me what I would make of that interest money, because I was getting ready to invest in another car. And I called him, and he told me, and I said, okay, good, that's good, that's good, that's good. But getting back to my point, he wants us to be coherent to His voice. You know, I think Pastor said this, sometimes the Spirit of God said, don't go there. Wait a while. Wait a little bit. And bam. Ain't you glad you didn't go? Ain't you glad? Amen? We need to move when the cloud moves, brothers and sisters. Amen? Let me look at my clock. I got a little bit more time. Here we go. Okay. I said praising God brings rest. Meditating brings rest. Praying in the Spirit brings rest. In the Word brings rest, Hebrews 4. Now, here we go. And this is a good one. Knowing you're in the will of God brings rest. Think about what I just said. Knowing you are in the will of God right now brings rest. Knowing you are doing what the Father in His plan, in His foreknowledge, had for you before you got here, when you know you are right there, it brings rest. I heard Pastor Saturday talking about his commitments to the Lord prior before his ministry. And I sat right there and I marveled. I said, well, praise God, no wonder. Because when you're following God in your decision makings, even in its infancy, it helps you when you go down the road and you might have an obstacle in your way. Or challenge. Let's speak to us. Knowing you're in God's will right now is ultimate rest. So many times, I heard Brother Hagin prophesy this. Many men and women live and die, never enter into the ministry that God called them into. Said that. And he used that verse where it says, separated me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And that's when they began their missionary apostolic ministry. And he began to prophesy. He said, many men and women live and die. I'm talking about ministry. And never enter into what God called them to do. And they do things and God blesses because God wants to bless it. He desires to bless it. And He does it as much as He can. But getting to what I wrote down, knowing you're in His will brings rest. And here's another one, and we kind of hit it a little bit. There's a rest that comes upon you when you have heard His voice. And that voice can be the inward witness, the still small voice, or the audible voice of the Lord. I've been there. I've been through some rough stuff. But when I heard the voice of the Lord, I heard the voice of the Lord in a prophetic way. It brought rest. I heard the voice of the Lord on the inside of me, a still small voice. It brought rest. I heard the voice of the Lord almost audibly, and it brought rest. I know the times the Lord spoke to me in an audible fashion about things, there was some tough treading to go through, but I had heard that word from God, and I went on through it because I kept thinking about what He said. Amen? Are you with me on that? Oh, glory to God. Amen. Well, we're getting ready to close, but I want to say this to you. We mentioned waiting on the Lord. I was going back through some other notes I was going to teach on one other time about. Okay, let me read this to you. This is from some other notes from another time I never hit. As we rest, excuse me, and wait on the Lord, there's a place where you just bask in His presence. You ever been there? See, you can get there because He wants to be there with you. Hear what I just said? You can get there because He wants to be there with you. You know? He wants you to get in His presence and just wait, worship Him, read the Word, but just wait. And when His presence comes upon you and you sense it, If you don't got to do nothing else, don't do nothing else. Sit there a while. Did you hear what I just said? Sit there a while. Stay with it. Because we're living in a day that the people of God have really got to take to heart what the Holy Spirit addressed to us throughout the epistles and Jesus also in the Gospels. Listen, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. They're going to continually call good evil and evil good. They're going to enhance their persecution against us till we get taken out of here. How much of that we've got to endure, we don't know. Only the Father knows when He's going to nudge the Son and say, go get my church. So, one of my favorite verses about walking is over in Ephesians where it says, walk circumspect, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Circumspect means your closest walk. So I exhort you to walk forward with the Father and enter into that rest He has for you in these days that we're living in. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We just praise You for it, Father. And Lord, thank You, Holy Spirit, that You remind us of this Word.